RPC, Recorded Picture Company. Hanway Films. Participant Productions. A bright explosion of light. BBC Films. Recorded Picture Company presents in association with Hanway Films, Participant Productions and BBC Films. Fast Food Nation. A fast food tray is brought out, containing a Big One burger box and a portion of fries. A large drink is placed with them, and a man's hands takes the tray away. A busy burger restaurant. Families fill the tables, and boys in sports clothes run about. The man with the tray goes to a table where a woman and two children sit. They smile as he places his food onto the table. He opens the Mickey's Burgers box, revealing a burger, lifts off the top, and we see a large slab of greasy, mottled brown meat completely filling the box. Nighttime, and a dog runs along a pavement. Mexico, US border town. A group of boys kick a football around. A young man in a Stetson hat and two young women walk silently along in the darkness. They wander past a street seller and arrive at a wooden gateway.
Here it is. Come on.
Sylvia and Coco step inside as Raoul keeps a lookout. They pause and look at a fire burning in a drum. They walk through into a garden and see a chicken in a small wooden pen. A middle-aged man with a moustache and smoking a cigarette looks up with a scowl. Raoul nods at him.
We're all here. Listen closely. If one is weak, the rest will be made weak. If one is slow, the rest becomes slow. Look after one another. It will be best for all of you.
Échense la mano. Unos a otros.
Raoul hands over a wad of notes and a woman counts it. Other young people are crowded round. Men are sitting in the Mickey's Burgers boardroom, Anaheim, California.
What about the big one only gets bigger?
Everyone wants a big one.
I got a big one. Sorry.
How about just, like, eat me?
Okay, so there's no shortage of future slogans. Phil, what have you got?
Well, same-store sales are up 8.4% this quarter, which is just amazing. And the increase extends across every demographic. It's tweens, heavy users, minivan dads, even seniors. So clearly, the big one is not only a big hit, it is quickly becoming the flagship of our brand.
Which we'll be building on, both in the upcoming second half of our campaign and in merchandising.
Terrific. Don, what about those little big ones?
Well, last week, you know, we did a pretty extensive focus group with some of the kids from Martin Luther King Elementary.
Yeah.
And it went great. Tested 91% in the top three boxes. They loved them.
What is it now, A2 bag?
No, you're thinking about the itty bitties. No, we figure three little big ones for each kid's meal is going to work out about right. But we want to do a little more testing on that as well.
How about Disney?
No word yet.
Also, the PBS deal doesn't seem to be happening. Apparently, Burger King and McDonald's have the Teletubbies all locked up.
Fuck 'em.
Later, Don's in a laboratory. He dips a stick into a bottle of liquid and sniffs it thoughtfully a couple of times as a technician
watches. That's
wonderful. Yeah, you like that? That's the barbecue big one.
Wow. Tastes like it's right off the grill.
You don't think it needs, like, liquid smoke or any other kind of flavorings?
No. I think it's perfect. Let's test that.
Okay. Try this one.
Don smells another stick, then scowls.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, these Caribbean seasonings are kind of tricky.
Well, we're calling them Calypso chicken tenders. I think people are going to have an expectation for maybe a touch of lime.
Oh, well, lime's easy. I just held back on the terpenoline on this to keep the flavoring subtle. But I can always go back and add more.
Yeah. Why don't you try that?
We'll keep working on it.
I really enjoyed it. You were wonderful.
Don is now shown into an office.
Okay. Look, I gotta go. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Louise.
Donny boy, have a seat. Thanks for stopping by. So, what do you think of everything?
It's good. Good. I'm glad to see the big one doing so well.
Listen, you ever run into a guy named Harry Rydell, executive VP out of the Chicago office?
I don't think so.
He works closely with our suppliers. A little too closely, if you ask me.
What do you mean?
I have a friend that teaches food science over at A&M, microbiology. And this semester, a couple of his grad students decided to culture some patties from a bunch of fast food chains.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got a hold of a couple of big ones. The frozen patties, don't ask me how. And the fecal coliform counts were just off the charts. I'm concerned that this could be a problem for us. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not exactly.
I'm saying there's shit in the meat.
The group of Mexicans trudge across dry scrubland in the dark. Sylvia links arms with Raul and Coco's with another lad. He looks down at her shoes.
You have the wrong shoes.
Why not?
Mira, estas botas.
Look, I got these in Tucson. These are what you need. But don't worry, I have some stuff if you get blisters.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How many times have you done this crossing?
This is my third. You?
First.
Don is reading to the younger of his two sons at bedtime.
The drawbridge was down, the great gate stood wide. I entered without challenge, my own heels making the only sounds I heard.
Keep going.
No.
Bedtime.
Just one more? Please.
No, that's it.
He stands up.
Good night, Stevie. Hey.
I think I may have to miss your history exhibit on Thursday.
Why?
Well, you know how Daddy has to go out of town for work every now and then.
Yeah, but I thought you didn't have to.
Well, not as much, but I gotta go to Colorado for a couple of days. All right? I'll be home for the weekend, though.
Okay.
Love you guys.
Later, with his wife.
Too much of coli and stuff. People could get sick.
Is that the one that can kill kids?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, nobody's gotten sick or anything. But Jack says too much cow manure is somehow getting into the meat.
That's disgusting.
That's my new job. Same office. Still dealing with bullshit.
Well, I guess it is a marketing issue after all. If the kids die from eating your burgers, it makes them much harder to sell.
That's right. Marketing 101. Don't kill the customer. Bad for repeat business.
The Mexicans trudge through the heat of the day. Damn flies. The leader looks back at Coco. Her friend Roberto walks with her.
Are you tired?
She nods. Sylvia traipses silently with Raul. Nighttime. As they trudge along in the darkness, bright headlights suddenly appear.
Run for it.
People scatter in all directions, and Raul and Sylvia jump into a ditch.
Coco? Coco?
She's over here, now shut up.
Roberto? Roberto?
Dawn breaks, and a van drives up, its headlights bright in the gloom. The Mexicans are still crouched behind some bushes. The leader runs up and opens the back doors as the driver, in sunglasses, dashes out.
Hurry up.
What about Roberto?
Get in.
Should we wait for him, no?
He's crossed before. He knows the way to the mart.
We're late, and I'm leaving.
He'll be okay.
We have to leave.
Let's go.
They all climb into the back of the van, and the leader gets in the front with the driver. Later, they're driving along a stony track.
Everyone okay? You made it, almost. I've got a little present for you.
He hands out bottles of water.
Pay attention. A few things you should know. This job's gotten crazy. These gangs, they're kidnappers. They'd like to steal my cargo, and that's why I have this. A gun. So don't worry. I haven't lost anyone yet. Hold on a sec.
Hi. No. I sent that form in. I paid it. You know, you tell that coach in that whole fucking league, if he doesn't play, I'm going to kick all their asses. See? Yeah. I just did a pickup. I'll talk to you later.
That's my wife. Fucking gringos always trying to rip you off.
Where do you live?
Eastland Heights, outside Atlanta. It's no bad. Next time let me know. I could take some people there.
Later, the battered yellow van emblazoned with Leroy's Plumbing Supplies pulls up outside the mart, where three lads are waiting in the shade of a tree. The driver gets out.
Wait there. Let's go.
Vamos.
He opens the doors and two people climb out, along with the leader of the group. The three lads get in.
See you later, Benny. Thanks.
You all set?
I got a ride.
Till next time, man. Let's see. I got Cannon City, Pueblo, Cody, and Denver. Anything I left out?
Florence?
No, you get dropped in Cannon City for that. It's 10 minutes away. You guys that just got on, welcome. Pay attention. A few things you should know. Don't fuck with me. That's right.
They stare at his gun in stunned silence. He smiles, puts it down, and turns around. It's nighttime, and the van drives along a road, its headlights bright in the darkness. Inside, Sylvia's asleep on Raoul's shoulder. He looks at her tenderly. In the driving seat, Benny yawns and rubs his forehead and eyes. The other Mexicans in the van are also asleep. Back in the dry scrubland on the Mexican border, Roberto wanders under the glaring sun. He's bare-chested and stumbles over small bushes before tripping and collapsing onto the dusty ground. He tries to get up, but falls over. An aerial view of dry, brown fields. Countless numbers of cattle are dotted about in separate rectangular enclosures, with roads crisscrossing the area. The fields seem to go on and on. Don is driving along a highway in a large black car with the sun beating down on the road. He pulls up alongside one of the huge dusty enclosures full of cows and gets out. He looks around, smiling thoughtfully at those animals nearest to him. They all have numbers pinned to their ears. A black cow licks one nostril, then the other. Don takes a deep breath and looks around. There are cows as far as he can see in all directions, crammed into rusty fenced enclosures. Later, he drives along a road past a Welcome to Cody, Colorado sign and a Mickey's Burgers sign saying, six locations for you. He stops at some traffic lights and looks at the van he's next to on the road. It's the Leroy's plumbing van carrying the immigrants. The lights change to green and they head off. The van turns down the street and later pulls into a car park. A rusty sign on top of a building reads, Stagecoach, vacancy, rent weekly. The van stops and Benny gets out and opens the back door so the Mexican immigrants can climb down.
Finally, you're here. Over there in number 50.
Later, they're all crammed into a darkened motel room watching a football match on TV.
Anyone in the bathroom?
¿Alguien en el baño?
No.
Everyone's here?
The man walks out, followed by Benny. Don's in his hotel room, unpacking, with the television on. He pauses to look at the screen. He stops to look again.
You want to pull your hair?
Yes, yes, pull my hair. Oh, that's right, slut. Oh, I love it when you call me slut.
Let's go, stand up. Go, stand up. Come on, stand up. Hey.
To a male immigrant.
Stand up.
You got it, bastard?
The fuck are you doing?
Think you're on vacation?
Fucking people on vacation.
He looks them up and down and points to one man, then wanders over to Raul, stops and points at him. Raul looks at Coco and then kisses Sylvia before standing up and going out. The man watches this with a slight smirk. He looks at Sylvia and then at Coco, who's sitting twirling her hair. He takes a deep breath and scratches his chest as he walks out of the room. Don is walking across a car park towards a Mickey's Burgers restaurant, lit up in the night. He stops and looks at the sign advertising the big one, then saunters inside. A teenage girl is chatting to two lads in the kitchen.
Welcome to Mickey's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I'm thinking about a big one.
Okay, would you like some large fries with that?
No, thanks, not tonight.
Our super value drink?
I'll have a chocolate shake and a water.
All right. Would you like any dessert with that? A brownie pie or a turnover?
No, not tonight.
Okay. That'll be $4.98.
Okay. Here you go. So what's your favorite thing on the menu?
I like everything.
Well, I know that's not true. But you did give me the correct answer. I was just testing you. I'm actually a vice president of marketing for Mickey's.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. Just here in town for a couple of days, seeing where the big ones come from.
Here?
Oh, no, not here. But at Uniqlo Meatpacking, just outside of town, that's where every single big one patty in the entire country gets made.
No way.
Yeah. It's amazing.
A messy-haired lad in the kitchen puts together the salad for the burger, then spits into it.
I think they'll burn the meat.
The boy at the grill throws on a patty, then the first lad puts it all together and places it into a box before handing it to the girl behind the till.
Amber, order up.
She places it onto a tray with two cups and hands it to Don.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. What's your name?
Amber.
Right. Don Henderson.
It's nice to meet you.
You too. Maybe I'll see you around.
All right, I'm always here. Brian, can I get a coffee freezer?
Don can be seen from outside, sitting at a table in front of a window. Slowly, he picks up the burger and takes a bite. Raul and the other Mexican man are riding in the back of a shiny red pickup truck driven by the supervisor. They look at the lights in the buildings and the bright neon signs as they speed past. Soon they're travelling out of the town centre and only a few rows of lights can be seen. They come to a large industrial area. A stark white building is lit up against the black night sky. Raul looks at it as they travel closer. A flag with Uniglobe Meatpacking flutters in the breeze. The truck stops at the front gates.
Get out.
They climb out of the back and the supervisor drives away. They go through the gates. Inside, a man in a white coat and hard hat shows them down a corridor. The two immigrants look around curiously. Raul sees Uniglobe Meatpacking, Cody, Colorado division on the back of the man's coat. Now they're in white clothes and boots.
What do you think we'll be doing?
I don't know.
Maybe we're going to kill cows.
You think so?
No, you have to be trained to do that.
Maybe.
The worker gives them hard hats.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As they walk along, they see a man who's lost a hand. They're taken past a number of men with power washers hosing down walls, machines, and the floor. The two immigrants watch with interest as they follow the worker. A man wheels a large metal container past them. They head into the rendering department and see carcasses hanging up. Amber's in the kitchen at home. She takes a ready meal out of the microwave and puts it on the table as a woman in a cleaner's apron comes in.
Amber, huh? Electric is $131 for last month.
Mom, I gotta pay my car insurance.
Well, anything helps. So how's your day looking?
I band practice after school and work at 6.
Well, don't let him keep you past 10.
I'll try to get out of there. Tony's been pretty cool about letting me out early.
Good.
As a yellow school bus drives past the end of her street, Amber comes out of her house and gets into her old grey car. She throws her bag onto the passenger seat, which falls onto an empty Mickey's Burgers cup. She reverses out of the drive and heads off down the road. At school, she walks through metal detectors as a boy is being scanned. She smiles and waves at a passing girl. She goes to her locker as a security guard with a small dog walks past. Raul and his counterpart stride into the motel car park as a man in shorts buys a paper from a machine. They go up to their room and knock. Raul yawns as Sylvia opens the door.
Buenos dias.
Hola.
Good morning.
Hi.
Ugh, you stink.
Hola.
Hola.
This is nothing. You should smell it in there. That place really smells bad.
How are you?
After a shower, I'll tell you.
He sneaks a kiss and they both go inside. Later, Sylvia's sitting with Coco at a table outside.
I wonder how it went.
So?
Tell us, what was it like?
It's crazy.
You smell nice.
Thank you. We were part of the cleaning crew. They gave us a uniform, boots and protective goggles. So then we walk into this huge building, and it's full of these big machines. They gave me this big hose, a pressure hose. So I'm spraying and spraying water to clean the blood, the grease, the hair, and all the shit that was left behind from the slaughtered cows.
Gross.
And the water that comes out of the hose is so hot that if it touches you, it really burns.
Really?
And it makes all this steam that fucks up your goggles and you can't see a thing. I took it off.
Yeah, that sounds scary.
But don't worry, they won't make you guys do that. You'll probably be cutting meat, like at a butcher's shop.
Were they nice there?
Not really, but who cares?
He pulls out a wad of notes, and Coco counts them as Sylvia smiles at him.
$80.
At the factory, huge slabs of compacted meat are placed onto a conveyor belt. Then a block of what looks like fat and intestines is also loaded on. A machine shreds the meat products. Wearing protective clothes, Don is shown around.
I'm right over here, John. We mix our product with a low-fat product from about a half a dozen other plants.
Workers wheel large metal tubs of pink mince across the floor. Then large flat burgers stream out on a conveyor belt. A person picks out excess meat, which then falls onto a wire mesh. A door is opened, and Don peers in to see the patties on a large carousel.
Liquefied gas in a cylinder takes them down to 40 degrees below zero.
Beads of ice form. Then the frozen burgers fly out onto another conveyor belt. The large 5-inch diameter patties spew out of the machine and speed along to the checking area. They're collected and packed into large boxes.
Wow! That's a lot of big ones!
Yeah? Well, somewhere in Kansas City, someone will be eating these tomorrow night.
The burgers are covered in plastic wrap, then the box lid is closed. A carton emblazoned with a Mickey's logo flies out of an opening and slides down a slope. A pallet load of boxes is wrapped again in cellophane, and a forklift truck takes them away. Later, Don is shown into a room where new recruits, including Sylvia and Coco, are watching a safety film.
How accidents happen to other people. But accidents don't just happen to other people. Accident prevention is each individual's responsibility. This program is designed to make you think more about accident causes and how you can prevent injuries. If you eliminate the cause of accidents, you're on your way to an accident-free workplace and lifetime. Safety works in your home also. It works when you're...
At school, the messy head lad from Mickey's Burgers approaches Amber and her friends.
Yo. You heard about the robbery last night?
No, where?
The McDonald's over on Cayenne. They came in at closing time and put everyone in the basement. Said they'd get shot if they came out, and boom, $6,000.
No way.
Yeah, $6,000 in cash.
In cash?
Hells yeah. How many times have you seen somebody buy their McNuggets with a credit card?
Good point.
You know, they said it was the third fast food place in Cody to get robbed in the last few weeks. They hit Fuddruckers on Thursday night. Or probably next.
All the more reason for you guys to quit. I mean... why do you even work there?
Not all of us can get hired at the Banana Republic.
Amber smiles as he walks off. Outside the factory, the supervisor strides up to his truck.
Oh, what the fuck y'all doing in my truck?
Do not disturb.
You gave us a ride here.
Get out.
He's cute, isn't he?
Who?
Mike.
That supervisor?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Well, he's very big and strong. What's wrong?
I don't want to ever set foot in that place again. There's got to be another job.
In Mickey's restaurant?
Yeah, the big one's been great. Really great. Sales keep creeping up. There's no drop-off.
That's what we're hearing.
Listen, I've had this location 12 years. And you'd have to go way back. Maybe even to the original Teeny Weenies promotion to see anything like this. Mm. You guys hit a home run.
Well, hey, we all did.
Definitely.
Hey, Tony, have you ever, ever been out to the UMP plant?
No, I haven't.
Been hearing some mixed things about the place.
I've heard all sorts of nasty stuff goes on there.
You have? Like what?
I don't know. I used to have a friend who used to work there, and he used to tell me all sorts of things.
Did you know that's where the big ones come from?
Well, this was a long time back. I mean, look, my friend could have been full of shit.
Yeah, because I was out there. I mean, the place is... it's spotless.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's high-tech, state-of-the-art stuff. Stainless steel everywhere, people wearing gloves and clean white coats. I mean...
yeah, it might be a lot different now.
Tony looks around uncomfortably.
So, the friend, you think I might be able to give him a call?
I don't know. He split a long time ago. I mean, I haven't really talked to him.
Don nods, and Tony looks thoughtful.
You know, my wife's got an uncle. He can tell you all about that place.
Do you work out there?
Oh, no. He used to sell them cattle. But he's a real character. Been on the ranch a little too long.
Think he'd talk to me?
Oh, he'll talk to you. Might scare you, though. It's a little intense. Give you his number.
His name's Rudy.
Mike, the supervisor, trudges into an area where workers are cutting the fat from the meat. He looks down at the line of people and then storms up to a woman.
Hey! Hey! What the fuck are you doing? Are you fucking retarded?
Did you hear what I said yesterday? What is this? That's a piece of grade A sirloin.
Grade A. Say it. Grade A. Say it.
Grade A.
Thank you. I fucking know you understand me. You people act like I'm a fucking retard.
It shouldn't be going down the line. You fuck up like that again, I'm going to put you to work pulling kidneys.
Get back to work.
He looks down the line of workers and puts his mask back on. Then he saunters over to Coco, who's cutting meat. He bends down and whispers into her ear.
Keep going.
He fondles her bottom.
What's your name?
Coco.
Coco. Sweet Coco.
He wanders off, leaving Coco looking after him. The woman next to her takes off her mask.
You better watch out.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
He sleeps with all the pretty girls, all of them. Gives them drugs, makes them do bad things, makes them lots of promises, and then throws them out like garbage.
Sounds like a bad guy.
Honey, he's the worst.
Coco looks longingly in his direction and puts her mask back on. Later, she's naked and straddling Mike in his truck, which is parked in an empty barn. That evening, in Mickey's Burgers restaurant, the messy-haired lad is frying chips and placing burgers on the grill plate. He drops one on the floor under the cooker. He picks it up, looks around, and puts it on the grill. He looks at the other lad who's preparing the buns.
You know, if that safe in McDonald's is holding $6,000, Tony must have at least 5 or 6 locked away in there.
Maybe more. Think he goes to the bank every day?
That's a good question.
Tim says that over where he works, that they don't even have a safe.
Well, that's because nobody ever eats there. Yeah. The chicken fajita I had the other night was some slimy shit.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why it only costs 99 cents.
There may be $5,000 or $6,000 in Tony's safe every night, just sitting in there, while we're out here getting paid dick to mess with this shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
Tony's a real prick, too, you know? I always catch him checking out Amber's ass, and he's like 5 times her age.
Hey, the cops must have these places totally staked out at night, because they're just waiting for another robbery. best time to do it would be first thing in the morning, around opening time.
Okay, here's how it goes down. We come in here first thing in the morning. And it's so dark, no traffic. Everybody's feeling calm and sleepy. We'll be taking this order to go, motherfucker. If you got the balls, bitch.
Don's hotel room.
Well, later today I'm supposed to go out to some ranch. Maybe that'll be worth something, I don't know. Well, I'm meeting with Harry on Friday. So I should be back on Saturday. Yeah, put him on. Who's this? Hello, Stevie.
Don't worry about it. I once walked in on two men doing it to each other at 3 in the afternoon. Their wives were out shopping. Came back here from the mall and never knew. I've seen all kinds of stuff. One old lady had a dead cat in her suitcase. Can you believe it? Sylvia and the other chambermaid go inside the room. What a disaster. These people kill me. They tidy, then make the bed. You did the right thing. I worked at UMP for a couple of weeks, then I quit, and I'm never going back. It paid good, a lot better than this, but I don't want to lose a finger or a hand.
Of course.
You have to tuck it in a little tighter, like this. Very good. In Amber's car...
A couple of guys invited me to a party at the U on Saturday night. You want to come?
Did they know you go to Cody?
For some reason, they think I'm a freshman in college.
Oh, I wonder why.
One of them is really hot.
Oh, I gotta work that night.
You work way too much.
Don is pacing back and forth across an empty road, which stretches straight to the horizon. He looks out over the dusty fields on either side. Then he saunters over to a fence as he sees a vehicle approach from a track. He peers through his sunglasses as the car comes closer, leaving clouds of dust in its wake.
You the one that called?
Yeah, hi there. I'm Don.
Climb on over.
Don's smile fades slightly, then he awkwardly climbs over the metal gate. Later.
Ever been out here before?
Nope.
It's beautiful. Ever been on a ranch before?
Yeah, when I was a kid. At camp. How many acres do you have, Rudy?
Well, you wouldn't want to have to walk your way out of here, that's for sure.
The car drives over dry, grassy land. Then they're walking up a hill.
Come on up and meet my new neighbors.
Ah. A small town.
Oh, jeez. When did all this happen?
The last couple of years. Local ranchers lost control of the land. Banks took it and sold it to real estate speculators.
Later, they're back in the car, driving past a couple of caravans parked along the dusty track. Then Don sees a burnt-out mobile home.
What the hell happened over there?
Meth freaks.
Out here?
They find a quiet little place, start cooking, till something blows up or burns down.
Wow.
Past year and a half, I've had 2 bodies dumped on my land.
Dead bodies?
One of them was rolled up in this nice-looking carpet. Scared the shit out of my foreman. They dumped dead dogs, cats, and all other sorts of garbage on my land. Seems like I spent half my time just defending the place. I gotta go to court next week to fight off some private corporation from Denver who wants to build a toll road across my land. Eminent domain my ass. They got another word for it. Robbery.
They stop by a wire gate.
Want to open that up for me?
Don gets out, takes the loop off the top of his and holds back the wire fencing as Rudy drives through.
get a clicker.
Inside the house.
Hey, Rudy, you know anybody over at Uniglobe Meatpacking?
Sure.
What do you think of them?
I think they're a fine bunch.
Really?
They'll slit your throat for a nickel. Nothing personal, they just want the extra nickel.
Well, who do you know over there?
I know all of them. I sold cattle to them for years. Oh. More important, I know their type. They are the meanest, toughest sons of bitches, and they're proud of it. But that's nothing new. My granddad went up against the meat packers in 1919. Testified in Congress about their price fixing. And after that, none of them would buy his cattle. UMP and all the rest tried to run him out of the business.
Okay, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah. And the big packers are even worse today. They're even bigger today.
Really?
And meaner. Hell, old Dwight D. Eisenhower would have shut him down. He wouldn't have stood for their crap.
Do you think they would knowingly sell us contaminated meat?
Oh, come on. Workers are getting their arms cut off over there. You don't know who you're dealing with.
No, I don't. Please, help me. I was at the plant. It seemed clean to me.
They show you the kill floor?
I don't know. I saw a lot of things.
You'd remember. You see any cattle getting their heads cut off? Were you walking ankle deep in blood?
No.
So they didn't show you a damn thing.
Okay, but how would cow manure get into the meat?
Rita?
You want more coffee?
You didn't ask coffee?
No, thanks. I'm fine.
You sure?
Yes, thank you.
I'll have some. Hey, Rita, is your brother still working over at UMP?
Oh, Mr. Rudy, you know very well that my brother still works there.
How's he doing?
Oh, he has a good job now. He's a supervisor in trim.
Mr. Henderson here would like to know if the meat over there is clean. He wants to know how cow manure could ever possibly wind up in his hamburger.
Well, there's lots of ways. My brother used to work at the gut table. And, you know, they have to pull out the intestines and the stomachs. And they just don't have enough time to do it right. The line is moving too fast. So when they're pulling the guts out and they make a mistake, all the poop and stuff just pours out all over the meat.
Okay. All right. But really, how often does that happen?
Every day.
We got any cookies back there?
I'll bring a plate of them. Anything else you want to know?
No, that's plenty. Thanks.
This isn't about good people versus bad people. It's about the machine that's taken over this country. It's like something out of science fiction. The land, the cattle, human beings. This machine don't give a shit. Pennies a pound, pennies a pound. That's all it cares about. Few more pennies a pound.
Sounds pretty bleak.
By the way, Don, you seem like a nice fella, but the food your company sells is crap. Total crap. Even when there isn't manure in it.
It's nighttime, and Mike and Coco are in the back of his truck. She plays with a lighter, and he hands her a roll-up. She takes it, places it between her lips, and lights it. He watches her and scratches his bare chest sensuously as she smokes the joint. Up on the roof of the UMP factory, Raul and another worker are cleaning air ducts with pressure hoses and brooms. They finish cleaning the air duct and pick up the bucket, and Raul looks at it.
Just open an account, put it in the bank.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I'm telling you, you can't leave money lying around the house. And those check cashing, money wiring places are a total rip-off. They keep 35% of the total. A bank, on the other hand, pays from 3 to 4.
I don't have papers.
That's no problem.
I don't want to put all this money in the bank and then one day not be able to get it out of the bank.
Hey, I've got an account, had it for 6 months. Use it if you like. Just put your money in my account.
Pon tu dinero en mi cuenta.
Raúl waves his finger with a smile.
Yeah, sure.
Raúl, don't you trust me? It'll be safe with me.
Thank you, but I'll take a pass.
Raúl looks at the city lights.
It's a nice view. It looks so peaceful. Let's clean up this shit and get out of here.
They stand in front of another air vent, point their hoses and spray. A rat crawls out. Raúl sprays other rats out of the way as his colleague runs on the spot, clutching his top. Raúl stops and looks at him.
I thought you were a man.
I hate fucking rats. Don't tell anybody.
No, nobody. Just your girlfriend.
There it comes, man, there it comes.
Raúl sprays, then turns to the man, who's looking sheepish.
Stop fucking around. Get your hose.
Thank God old Mr. Nathan came in. He took one look at me and said, Harry, you are the scariest fucking clown I've ever seen. Take that off immediately. How was that? I came about that close to becoming the first Mickey, which would have been a disaster because I would have probably killed somebody.
They're eating burgers.
What do you think? Well, it's not Mickey's. Oh. It's good, right? Good burger.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. great. Harry, what's going on out at UMP?
Beg pardon?
Yeah, what's really going on out there with the meat? You're supposed to be our conduit to that place.
Did he give you the tour?
Yeah.
Who took you through there?
Terry?
Oh, boy.
No. He was great. He was fine. I've been talking to a lot of people around town, and I've been hearing some bad things about that plant. Now, things they don't show you on the tour. Sounds like they might be running the production line too fast, you know? People are getting hurt out there every day. They're getting cut up. One guy lost his entire arm. These poor Mexicans, they come over here and UMP treats them like shit. And the meat, I gotta tell you something, Harry, the meat is filthy. Do you know they got untrained people working at the gut table?
Really? The gut table?
Yeah, I mean, Harry, they're shitting our meat.
Harry!
Hey!
I heard you were here today.
How you doing, huh?
I can't complain.
Good. At least I want you to meet Don Henderson. He just came to the company from CNN.
ESPN, actually.
Don is the inventor of the big one.
Really?
No, my team came up with the name.
You're just being humble. It's pure genius, Don. It's a good name for a burger, isn't it?
Sure is. It's very nice to meet you. Can I get you another fat tire?
I would love another fat tire. You want a beer, Don?
No, thanks.
Just one?
All right.
Just one.
Harry watches her as she walks off, then smiles to himself. Don looks at him with concern as he bites into a burger.
You know, I think there might be a little bit of shit right here in this meat. Just a little bit. Microscopic.
Your tests say that the meat we're getting from UMP is clean. It's not. I've seen independent tests that say that it's not.
There's always been a little shit in the meat. You've probably been eating it your whole life.
Yeah. Well, I prefer not to, Harry.
Well, I don't know who you've been talking to, Don. But there was absolutely nothing illegal going on here. Okay? Meat is supposed to be cooked. And the grills at Mickey's are calibrated carefully to make sure it kills every little bit of the bad stuff that's in there.
Yeah, that might be kind of tough to explain to our customers.
Explain what?
Listen, there is cow shit in our meat because we're running the line too fast.
Just cook it. That's all you need to do. You see, this is one of the things that's just bugging me about this country. Really bugging me. Americans have become these great big fraidy cats, afraid of everything. Everything's got to be sterile and germ-free. Well, everybody needs to grow up. That's what they need. You want to be safe,
huh? Perfectly safe? Well, forget about it. That's not going to happen, okay? And everybody just needs to get that through their head. Just cook the meat, and you'll be fine.
I can't believe I'm hearing this. I mean, you've known all about this? I'm shocked.
Donnie boy, you just gotta try and step back and look at the big picture. 40,000 people die in automobile accidents every year. Does that mean Detroit should stop making cars? Does it? Of course not. You ever been down to Mexico?
What's that have to do with anything?
It's beautiful down there. Really beautiful. Great beaches. Gorgeous. But poor. Poor. Poorest fucking place I've ever been, I think. Guy down there makes $3, maybe $4 a day. A day, Don. Now, that same guy, he comes up here. He gets a job working for UMP, making $10 an hour. That's more money in one day than he makes back home in a whole month. So, frankly, I don't see the problem. Nobody's making these people come up here, right? Nobody's telling them to come work for UMP.
Okay, but that's not the point.
And you know what? I admire these people, okay? I really do. They're hard workers. They're working hard, and they're trying to improve their lives, okay? Now, isn't that what our ancestors did? Isn't that what made this country the great country that it is today? Huh? And you want to try and stop them? You want to tell them that you know what's best for them? Most people don't like to be told what's best for them.
Well, what's going on at UMP is unacceptable. And I'm going to have to tell Jack about all this.
I'll tell Jack, huh?
He takes a swig of beer and stares at Don.
I've been working for this company almost 30 years. Hell, I grew up right down the street from the Nathans when we were all back in Muncie. So, here's my little piece of friendly advice to you, Donnie boy. I'd be careful how close I got to Jack. See, your boy Jack is about this close to getting his tit caught in a ringer. He's under investigation, okay? Cooking the books, patting his expense account, not to mention boning his own secretary, okay? And that is not the kind of company that we want to run.
Louise?
That's right. Your buddy Jack's got 2, maybe 3 months before he's out the door. Could be sooner.
He's sleeping with Louise?
And you know what, Don? You should be thanking me instead of doing all this complaining. I negotiated a hell of a good price with UMP, okay? I negotiated a great price for your fucking meat. Hell, if it weren't for me, there wouldn't be no big one, Don. I'd like to see you go and find a supplier that will sell you grade A chuck at 40 cents a pound. I'd like to see that.
Have you ever met Louise?
Have I ever met her? 20 years ago, I gave her that job. She was a good-looking woman back then, too.
Don rubs his face.
It is a sad fact of life, Don. But the truth is, we all have to eat a little shit from time to time. But just for the record, I want you to know that I'm with you on this, okay? I really am. I'm gonna go down there. I'll see what the hell's going on. If I have to, I'm gonna kick some ass.
You know what, Harry? I don't think that's gonna be good enough.
You seem like a real bright guy, Don. I hate to see you get caught up in something you couldn't get out of. Give it some thought. Why don't you take some of these fries home with you? I'm not gonna finish them.
That night, Don's in his hotel room talking on the phone.
No. No, it's not that simple. There is something definitely weird going on between Jack and Harry, and either way I can lose this job. Either way. No, no, we're not gonna move again. That's not gonna happen.
Well, just tell Jay to wait a moment. This is important. Well, have him wait.
Yeah. I'll talk to you later.
Frustrated, he ends the call and looks around the room. The neon sign for Mickey's Burgers is bright in the darkness. Don stares thoughtfully out of his hotel window and takes a swig of beer. In the morning, he's on the phone as he packs.
No. Look, Jack, it's gone great. I've been out to the plant. I spoke to some workers. I even tracked down this old rancher who's dealt with these guys for years. So there's a lot of things, but...
Yeah, of course I met with Harry. Yeah, he's a interesting guy, you were right. But I don't think that he's a crook. Well, I don't know. All right. Then, I would probably recommend we do some additional testing in the near future. See what that shows. Yeah.
Will you be keeping this on your American Express?
Sure.
I have 3 pay-per-view movies at $7.95 each.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to join our Executive Guest Advantage program?
No.
Did you enjoy your stay with us?
Not really.
Were you here on business or pleasure?
Business.
Is there anything we can do in the future to make your stay with us more enjoyable?
You can give me my bill.
Bye-bye, Mr. Anderson. Have a great day.
He takes the bill from the smiling woman, picks up his bags, and walks out through the sliding doors and into the sunshine. The door slides shut behind him. 2 months later, Sylvia and Raoul are on the central reservation of a dual carriageway, waiting to cross the road. The light is fading at the end of the day, and the traffic is relentless in front of a McDonald's and a Taco Bell. Inside a busy restaurant, they sit at a table staring at the menus. A waitress comes over.
Have you guys decided on anything?
2 Chinese chicken salad, please. And 2 Coca-Colas, please.
Anything to start?
They look at each other, and then back at her, confused.
Okay, I'll be right back with those Cokes.
¿Qué dijo?
What did she say?
That she took the order.
Later,
Francisco was right. That was fantastic.
I think the chicken was frozen.
I thought it was fantastic. Look, this is the one I want. I heard Chevys hold up really well.
They're at the car.
It's pretty.
Give me a little time and you'll see. What's the matter?
Nothing, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Sí. Estuvo riquísimo.
That was fun.
Next week we'll try pizza.
Okay.
Papa John's pizza.
It's a date.
They walk down the dark street. Amber's at home typing on the computer when her mother comes in.
Hey, how was Roger? Roger is the boringest person I've ever met.
Oh, sorry.
What are you up to?
I'm writing a biology paper.
Oh, what's it about?
History of genetics, Mendel, that sort of thing.
When's it due?
Tuesday.
Next week?
Yeah. I just have a bunch of stuff due before then.
Where did you come from? I was never this good, and your father, he was a lazy asshole.
Mom?
What? He had other people write his papers for him.
Hmm. I bet you were one of them.
Screw you.
We got a new shipment of puppies today. I want to take them all home. Don't, Mom.
Well, it's sad. Loretta said that they just make those cages big enough to be legal, but small enough so people will get the puppies out of there. When I left the store tonight, I just wanted to open all those cages.
and let all those little puppies run free.
Mom.
They are so cute.
Mom, I'm trying to work.
Okay. But you have to come and see him tomorrow.
She throws a piece of clothing at Amber and chucks it straight back at her.
Too slow, Amber, too slow.
Take it easy. Go to bed.
Outside the factory, Raoul and another worker are playing football on the grass. Raoul gets ready to shoot at the other man in goal, saying,
"Only the pros can make this shot."
Raoul scores easily, chuckling to himself. Later, as he arrives home, skillfully flipping the football in the air, Coco and Sylvia are arguing. It's none of your fucking business.
Of course it is.
You're not my mother. Sylvia looks at Raoul.
Do you think it's my business that my sister stays up all night taking drugs, using Cranky?
You don't even know the name. It's Crank. You're just jealous.
Behaving in a way that would make her father ashamed. I don't envy your life. I'm embarrassed by it.
You didn't even want to come here. And now my boyfriend is a supervisor.
Boyfriend? That's not a boyfriend.
Let's see who's doing better in 6 months. Fuck her. She needs it.
She's really messed up. She's heading for big trouble.
A lot of people at work are taking drugs. It's hard. The drugs make it easier.
That's all I need. You're taking her side.
No, that's just the way it is.
So that makes it okay.
Outside, Coco makes a call on her mobile.
Hola. It's me.
You said we're going to see each other.
Call me, see?
Amber arrives home in her bright yellow work shirt.
Uncle Pete!
Hey! Oh, God. What is with the uniform?
Sorry, Pete, we have jobs.
No, just somebody put a blanket on her, okay? All right, I cannot believe my beautiful Amber is in a damn Mickey's uniform. No, I can't look at you in that thing. I can't. You smell like chicken nuggets, okay?
She has a job. Yeah, well, give me a break.
All right. Well, except for the uniform, let's see.
You're dumb.
You look great.
Thank you.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you.
All right.
How long are you here for?
Oh, just for the night. I'm on my way up to Bozeman. No, I don't think I can talk to you in that thing.
Leave her alone! Honey, you got some homework?
Oh, not much.
Okay, why don't you get it done, change your clothes, and go out with Uncle Pete?
So I have a date I can't break. Had I known you were coming.
Oh, what? You would have changed your plans?
No. Mm-hmm. How's Gabe?
He's great. He's walking and talking.
Hey, how's Michelle?
Is that Mrs. Whiskers? Check him out.
Oh, he's so big.
Right?
Here.
Hey!
Later, Amber and Pete are in a bar. Pete brings a couple of drinks over to their table.
Damn. This place is great.
Yeah, you are only allowed to come here with me. So, are you on the pill?
No.
No? Do you have a boyfriend?
Not really. I'm kind of in between.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are circling you like sharks, right? I'm going to come back here and find that you got like a little baby fry cook in the oven.
You know what?
What?
I remember you taking me to Mickey's when I was a kid.
No.
Yes.
All right, I was just being lazy. I apologize. All right, now I hate everything about the place.
Mom said it was a big deal when the first Mickey's opened here.
Oh, it was tremendous. Yeah, it was. I mean, Cody was on the map. The first one didn't bother me. It was just the 400th that started to, get under my skin.
Well, I need the money. Really do.
Mm-hmm. There's no other jobs, right? You tried SPCA, you tried the park services, you tried daycare, right? Nobody around here needs their kids to be taken care of?
It was the first job I could find.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a friend of mine worked there. What do you want to hear?
I'm not criticizing you, all right? I think you are great. I just want to know your timeline for getting out of here.
I want to go to college.
Good.
I'm thinking Oregon or Montana.
What you gonna study?
I don't know. I wanna write. I like photography. But I think I wanna study science, some aeronautical engineering.
Aeronautical engineering?
Yeah. I mean, if I could do anything in the world, I'd be an astronaut.
All right, well, fucking A, do it. Okay, but you need to get out of here to do that.
Well, was it hard leaving Cody back when you were a teenager?
No, not for me. Your mom now. That was a different story.
I was on the way, and it cuts down on your options.
Mm-hmm. That is why, if by the age of 21, you have not missed one menstrual cycle, I will give you $1,000.
Will you shut up, okay? I am not talking to my uncle about sex.
Okay. I read this study the other day about that. People who are happiest with their lives and the ones who have followed their passion, right? Even if they weren't, you know, technically successful, right? When they were looking back at their life, they had fewer regrets. You know, they felt their life had been more fulfilling.
Yeah. That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, it does. So, bottom line is do not listen to me. Do not listen to your mother. Listen to yourself. And if you want to be like everybody else, just do what everybody's telling you to do.
What about you? Are you doing what you always wanted to do?
Well, if I jump back to when I was your age, no, I don't think I would be wildly impressed. I mean, I don't. But, you know, I'm all right with what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm really all right with what I'm not doing.
Later.
Is that your move?
Yeah.
The bop.
Dang it.
So... Hello?
Amber, why are you still up?
Well, why do you have my poncho on?
It's fine.
No, was it? Hmm?
Well, she's home fairly early, if that signifies anything.
Oh, no, it doesn't mean anything. Your mother, she's amazing. You wouldn't believe what she could get accomplished in a short period of time.
Screw you, Baba.
Hey, sis, whoa, hey. So, what would you say? Is Cody a better town today? Or back when we were kids.
Well, I know what you would say.
What?
Your uncle hates everything, Amber. You know, I actually think it's better now. There's more stuff to do.
Oh, yeah. There's more to do. You got the Walmart, the Kmart, and the Target, right? I mean, you got Chuck E. Cheese. You got Taco Bell. You got Arby's. You got Mickey's. You got Denny's. You've got Chili's. You've got Applebee's. You got Wendy's. You got Hardee's, right? You got the KFC, the IHOP. Do they still have that Der Wiener Schnitzel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank God it's still hanging in there. You know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I could just piss away a whole Sunday afternoon at the Sunglass Hut.
Oh,
you know?
Have you ever been to the Sunglass Hut?
No, I never have. I'm not trying to come off like some Polly Perfect here, all right? I mean, I'm going to make some cabinets for some rich New York investment banker fuck who probably spends 2 weeks a year at his Montana ranch, so don't listen to me.
No, I'm not
talking to you. I'm talking to your daughter. Anyway, I'm probably just going through some full of shit early middle age period.
I don't think you're full of shit.
Thank you. Thank you. She's so nice. What happened to you?
No, sweetheart. Don't contradict your mother. He is full of shit. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't waste a lot of time thinking about this stuff.
No.
Democrats, Republicans, they're all crooks.
This is why revolutions are meant for the young. If you don't do it now, you're never gonna. Uniform, uniformity. Conform, conformity. Monogamy, monotony.
No wonder you're not still married.
Hey. Stupid stupidity.
Yeah, look, hey, the facts are not always friendly.
Listen to who's giving the lecture here, Amber. Your uncle did not finish college.
Jesus!
Okay? He lived in a camper for 18 months.
An Airstream.
This is not a role model. Remind me to deprogram you after he leaves.
Hey, Mom said you got kicked out of college.
Whoa, thanks, Mom.
Yeah, your mugshots are in all the paper.
Yeah, with 8 others. All right, it was at Colorado University, right? We were the CU9.
Yeah. That notorious band of Midwestern white freedom fighters.
No. We took over the chancellor's office. All right, we were protesting the college's investment in South Africa.
So what happened?
All right. Well, so after about 4 hours, they come bursting through this barricade.
Okay, that was 2 chalkboards.
It's not 2 chalkboards. All right, we had a bunch of rope with some chair. Look, they practically beat the shit out of all of us, right? They treat us like a band of terrorists.
You got your little ass kicked out of college, which he never finished.
Big deal.
And it cost our dad $2,000 in legal
which
fees.
I eventually paid him back. Anyway, meanwhile, cut to about a year later, the college divests all its holdings in South Africa, and a little while after that, Nelson Mandela is a free man.
All because of the CU9!
No, nobody said that. Nobody even thought that, all right? The point is, that, you know, if enough people start thinking about something and trying to actually do something, you can change things for the better.
I believe that.
Well, I hope they can change for the better.
Well, don't just hope. You know, you can't just sit back and hope. You have to do something. In a town like this, hope will kill you. It's your move.
In the meat factory, a line of carcasses are suspended on hooks. One worker holds a carcass still, while another slices it in half. It's then slung on top of a pile of similar slabs of meat. Lines of workers are slicing joints of meat on a conveyor belt. Other workers are skillfully slicing and trimming more meat carcasses. As they cut pieces of meat onto the conveyor belt, another female worker is talking to Coco.
So what do you think of Esteban? Esteban, that coyote you used.
Well, he got us here, but if I never see him again, all the better.
Don't you trust him?
As much as you can trust a coyote.
I heard he's real good, a nice man.
Why do you want to know?
He's bringing my two boys over. I already gave him 2,000 for both, and I'll give him 2,000 more when they get here.
Coco notices Mike bringing in another female worker.
Tino is 8, Cesar is 11.
They're not going to cross alone, are they?
Esteban said he'll look after them. Said he does this sort of thing all the time.
I'm sure they'll be fine. Esteban's been doing this for years. Lowering his voice, Mike says to the woman,
"See you tonight. Don't wash."
Coco sees red and storms over to her, brandishing a knife. "Don't ever go near him again, you stupid fucking whore. And if I do, bitch..."
Hey, fucking crazy, huh?
Get back to work. Deal with this shit on your own time, not mine. Slow down the line again and you're out of here.
Then, to Coco,
"Slow down my line again and you'll be in shit so deep you can't dig your way out of it."
Nobody else stop fucking smiling and get back to work. Ahora!
Now, fuckheads.
Calm down. Come on. Bear up, what's the matter? What is it? Coco?
Moments later, Coco collapses on the floor.
¿Qué tienes?
Call Mike.
Llámale a Mike!
Coco.
Are you all right? Oh God, my poor girl.
Por Dios.
Mike enters the medical room.
She okay?
She needs to start sleeping at night.
So do you. He stands back to her.
He complains about it all the time, but he's fine.
Say hello for me. Yes, so this is the lady. She got about an hour or so left on her shift, so...
She'll make it.
All right. Let's go. Andale.
In a corridor...
You've been a bad girl.
If you touch that whore from Sinaloa again, I'll kill her, then I'll kill you.
Cálmate.
Luego te mato a ti.
Chill out, okay? Te estás pasando.
Touch her again. And I'll kill you. I mean it.
She rubs his crotch, then opens the door to a meatpacking room and takes him inside. They kiss passionately up against a stack of packing boxes.
What I do with Maria has nothing to do with you, okay? Nothing. You're a little stressed. I'm going to have to take you out of the line, yeah? Find you a better job. A nice, easy job. Far away from all that blood. Would you like that?
He slides his face down her body. At Mickey's.
Think about it. All that surveillance equipment they have here, they say it's for our safety. Those cameras are pointed right at us, monitoring us, making sure we don't steal shit and stuff.
Yeah, you know, I always wonder whose job it is to watch those monitors. Because you don't see anyone around here doing that.
I think they just record everything in case something happens. It's probably all getting fed back to the national headquarters.
Yeah, like our cash registers.
What about them?
You don't know about that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, man. Okay. First thing I do whenever I start my shift is type in the last four digits of my social security number, then log in. Mm-hmm. And from then on, they keep track of every keystroke.
Really?
Yeah. They keep a record. They know exactly how many orders of fries I've sold this month, everything. And I even have to put in a little code with each person's order, saying their approximate age and ethnicity. They don't even know.
You know, that is fucking evil.
Well, that's Mickey's for you.
A man checks April and her friend's driving licenses as they enter a...
When we came here, we sat right over there. Was it like full?
Yeah, it was really full.
Thank you. What was this band look like? It's pretty good.
Yeah, hey, look, just ask.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. Casual.
Got it.
Nothing.
Hey. Hey. Were you here the other night?
Yeah.
Who was that guy that was with you?
My uncle?
Oh my god.
We were trying to figure that one out.
He's hot, okay? No, he's my uncle.
I'm Andrew. This is Alice.
I'm Amber.
Kim.
Andrew. Kim, nice to meet you.
Hey, Tim. Well, we're all heading over to the lookout for a party if you guys want to come.
The lookout?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know that road behind campus. You just take that up Mount Cody for like a mile. It's right there.
Oh,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Should be fun.
All right, well, maybe we'll see you then.
Make it out there?
Yeah. Okay. See you there.
All right.
At night, on a hilltop overlooking the city, some students are gathered round a fire.
Because there is no way you can make sense of it all on your own. The lies are too big, they're too ingenious, they're too interconnected with one another, and they know if the lies are repeated over and over and over again, people are finally going to have to believe it. And we do.
Look, have you guys read that book, Crimes Against Nature?
Title says it all.
Exactly.
Read that book.
It's talking about how right now they've got the logging companies and the timber companies chopping down all the trees in the national forest. But they're saying it's the healthy forest program.
Yep. And they got the coal companies running our clean air plant.
I mean, how do they announce that stuff in public without cracking up?
I gotta hand it to them, though. Genius fucking marketers. And they're extremely well organized, so we need to be too.
Amber!
Yeah, and these guys see themselves as big-time righteous Christians.
Well, what Jesus do?
Hey, what's going on? I met these really cute guys. They want to meet you. Well, I'm hanging out with these guys. They're so boring. I don't want to leave just yet. Why? I don't know. Don't worry about it. I'll catch up with you later.
Looking fed up, Kim walks back to her group. Later, Amber walks into Mickey's, approaching Tony's office.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Tony?
Hey, Amber.
Tony.
Yeah.
I don't think I can work here anymore.
Everything okay? You okay?
I'm fine.
I mean, what do you want to do? You want to cut back on the hours? Maybe try another shift?
No.
Something happened? Anybody giving you a hard time?
No.
What's up? Talk to me.
I can't work here anymore. It feels wrong.
How is it wrong? You know, the job sucks, but that doesn't mean it's wrong.
Brian. Listen, Amber. You're one of my best associates, okay? We're starting to talk about you. Management material, okay? You're about to turn 18 pretty soon. We're expanding. You got a lot of opportunities here. Think about this.
I just want to do something else.
Okay. I mean, there's something wrong with this place?
kind of doesn't feel real. I mean, it's not your fault. It's just this place is like a thousand other places. I mean, they're all... It's identical.
Okay, Amber, you want reality, you got it. Goodbye.
Tony, I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with you.
I'm really disappointed, Amber. Really disappointed.
Me too.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna pick up your check next Thursday.
You want a coffee freezer for the ride?
Okay.
At the factory, workers in white uniforms are blasting the machinery with high-pressure water jets. Others are mopping the blood-stained floor. Suddenly, a worker falls into a machine with large rotating spikes. As he clings onto the edge for dear life, Raoul shouts,
"Stop it! Shut it off!"
As he tries to pull him out, another man shuts the machine down, but it slices off the man's leg. He lies semi-conscious on the floor. Sylvia's working in a hotel room, one eye on the TV, saying,
"How can she fall for this? How can they all be so stupid?"
Sylvia, you need to call the plant. You need to call right away.
Okay.
Later, at the factory...
Sylvia, I'm Tom Watson, Human Resources.
He's from Human Resources. I'm Cristina Ramirez, and I'm here to translate.
¿Cómo está?
How is he?
Oh, well, he's got a few cracked ribs, a pretty bad concussion. He has a disc in his lower back that's hurt, but that could have been a problem before the accident.
Dice que se rompió varias costillas, que se descalabró, y que tiene un disco en la parte baja de la espalda dislocado, pero que esto puede ser una condición...
Sylvia looks close to tears.
¿Va a estar bien?
She says, if he's going to be all right.
Oh, well, he's going to be real sore, but yeah, he's going to be okay.
Dice que está, va a estar muy adolorido, pero se va a recuperar.
Now, look, I want you to tell her that I have some unpleasant news that we need to discuss.
Dice que tiene noticias desagradables que comunicar.
What's wrong?
¿Qué pasa?
Raul tested positive for methamphetamine.
Dice que las pruebas de sangre confirmaron que Raul consumía anfetamina.
Amphetamines?
Amfetamina?
It's an illegal drug. It appears he was using drugs on the job.
Es una droga ilícita.
And this could have caused the accident.
Parece que Raúl consumía drogas en el trabajo.
No les creo.
She says she doesn't believe you.
Well, tell her this. Tell her that UMP is committed to a drug-free workplace, and if you break the rules, it endangers others. Tell her that.
Que la política de la empresa es de cero tolerancia a las drogas porque pone en peligro a los demás.
Pero Raúl nunca ha usado drogas.
She says Raúl has never used any drugs.
Well, look, I can show the result of the blood test.
Dice que le puede dar muestra de las pruebas de sangre.
No les creo.
She doesn't believe us.
I'm sorry about your husband.
We really are sorry about your husband.
De veras sentimos mucho lo de su esposo.
She walks off, leaving Sylvia sobbing.
Con permiso.
Later, she makes her way through to a gloomy hospital ward, to Raoul's bedside. He's lying asleep on his back, wearing a neck brace. She leans over and kisses him softly on the lips. She sits down at his bedside, shaking her head as she looks at the tubes coming out of his hand. She sits in silence, gazing at him. Amber's among a group of students in a common room.
Problem is, at this very moment, there's about 100,000 cattle in the UMP feedlot that's right outside of Cody. It's one of the biggest feedlots in the world. Each one of those cows puts out 50 pounds of piss and shit every day. 50 pounds each.
Lovely.
Yeah, I know. So that UMP feedlot produces more waste every single day than all of the people in Denver combined.
That's gross.
Yeah. And the waste from UMP's feedlot, it's not going to some high-tech treatment plant, you know? It's being pumped into these lagoons, which are these just great big ponds of piss and shit. And these great big shit ponds are leaking shit into Peyton Creek, which eventually ends up in the river.
I mean, you should see it. UMP's cattle, they're all just crammed together, living in their own manure, eating this genetically engineered crap that's being dumped into these concrete troughs for them. It's like prison camps for cows. You wouldn't believe it. You can smell it like 3 miles away.
So Professor Cohen is going to help us coordinate a letter writing campaign, not only to the State Water Quality Board, but to various editorial organizations.
Are you kidding me?
Excuse me?
You guys are going to write a letter. That company is the meanest fucking company I've ever seen. They treat their workers like shit. They treat the animals like shit. They're dumping tons of shit and piss into our river, and you guys are going to write a letter?
Yes, Paco. As an official warning, to be followed by a campus-wide boycott of everything that comes out of that place.
The governor got $200,000 from UMP last year. Kathy Crawford, head of the Environmental Committee in the State Senate, she's married to a UMP top exec. And you guys are gonna write a letter. What a fucking waste of time.
Listen, you've got to start somewhere in raising awareness.
No, this is bullshit, this environmental policy discussion group. Even our name sucks. You just make this up so you could put it on your grad school applications, Andrew.
Do you have a better idea, Gerald? Excuse me, I'm sorry, Paco?
Fuck you, man.
Are you just here to be the self-righteous critic, man?
I don't know, man. Action speaks louder. I'm tired of nice people sitting around talking and complaining while the bad guys get to do whatever the fuck they want. I want to see some action.
We all do, dude. That's what we're doing here.
Those Greenpeace dudes, they put their asses on the line. That's exactly what we should do.
You said that there's like 100,000 cows, right?
Roughly.
Well, what if we cut the fence and let them out? Let them run free? I mean, that might get some attention.
See, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. What's your name?
Amber.
Beautiful, Amber.
Well, think about it. I mean, if you suddenly had thousands and thousands of cows, you know, wandering free, wandering back to the prairie where they belong, causing traffic jams, blocking the highway, reminding people that cows aren't supposed to be penned up and treated that way.
You know, that's a really good idea. Because then we could issue a press release with our demands, showing what a disaster that company is and what we're going to do next.
We can do all of this. I'm warning you guys that right now in this country, any destruction of private property along these lines can be considered in violation of the Patriot Act. It can be considered an act of terrorism. You can go to prison for like 10 years.
Yeah, it's a bunch of bullshit.
I know. We have entered a whole new era where they can search your house without a warrant. They can put you in jail without a trial. Eco-activists that have never harmed another human being are considered by our government to be more of a threat to national security than all these right-wing Timothy McVeigh militia types.
Well, right now I can't think of anything more patriotic than violating the Patriot Act.
Daytime. At a trailer park, Sylvia walks up to a front door and knocks. Coco answers, and they hug.
Raoul had a terrible accident.
I know. Come in. I dropped by your place to see him.
You did?
Didn't he tell you?
When was this?
Day before yesterday. Poor Francisco, too. Actually, I don't know what I'd do without a leg. And Raoul... You'll see. He'll get better.
I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have any money and they won't give me any more hours at the hotel. With some rule.
I'd lend you some money, but I'm so in debt. I bought this car and have payments.
That's not why I came. I came to apologise for the things I said.
What things? I don't even remember.
I'm in no position to judge you.
You were right. I was a fucking mess there for a while.
Yo no soy nadie para andarte buscando.
Oye.
Sylvia pauses for a moment.
I need your help.
Necesito que me ayudes.
Do you think I could work at the plant?
¿Crees que puedas conseguirme trabajo en la planta?
I'll call Mike.
Thank you.
He got me a job in the shipping department. Maybe we could work together.
That would be great.
I missed you.
Me too.
At night, outside the factory, Sylvia's with Mike.
This industry's fucked. There's rumors UMP's plan to sell the plant or shut us down. We got plants all over the U.S., fucking Canada. Cody plant don't start pulling us away, yeah, they'll shut us down. Don't matter, we've been here 35 fucking years. They give a fuck about Cody, and they sure as shit don't give a fuck about me.
There's talk of getting rid of the C-shift altogether. I love your sister, you know, but right now I don't know if there's anything I can do. Understand?
No sé si puedo hacer algo. ¿Entiendes?
Later, heavy breathings coming from Mike's pickup truck. Sylvia's bending over the passenger seat while Mike takes her from behind. Sylvia's eyes are closed, and she wears a frown as he thrusts into her. At night, Amber and her group are sawing away a fence.
Jesus, fuck. This is taking forever, man. Always cut fences. It's the golden rule. Come on, buddies.
Come on, babies, run for it.
Let's go, come on.
Let's go.
Watch you not step into shit.
Come on, babies. Run for
it. Spread out. Guys, come on.
All right, let's get a move on. Come on. Come on, here you go. Come on, here you go.
Come on, this way. This way. Come on.
We're not doing anything.
Come on, this way.
Get a move. Come on, baby, let's go. Come on, go out that way. Go out that way. Why won't they go?
What the fuck is wrong with them? Hey, get your asses in gear. How stupid are they?
Show them there's a hole in the fence. I don't think they can see it.
Come on, look it. Look it, there's no fence. Run! Come on. No fence.
Come on.
Come on. Come on, come on. No fence,
over
you
here.
Fucking moron. Whoa, that motherfucker almost just gored me, man.
Don't you want to be free? It's wide open. Go! They're going to kill you. They're going to kill every single one of you.
Car! Well, time to go. Time to go.
Come on, let's get out of here. Come on, don't you want to be free? Don't you want to be free? Come on.
Amber.
Come on, Amber.
Car's that way, Andrew. Come on, Amber. We're going to hit the road. Let's go. Move. Come on, come on. Let's go.
They run off into the night. Later, they arrive back in one of the students' bedrooms.
What a fucking fiasco.
Well, look, nobody got arrested, nobody got hurt.
Yeah, and we've learned something.
Yeah?
Don't try something unless you know what the hell you're doing.
Next time we bring cattle prods. That was our only mistake.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Paco, ace cattle rustler from New Jersey.
Fuck you.
At least we tried, man. Better than sitting on our asses.
I just don't understand. I mean, why would they want to stay in there?
Well, let's face it. Cows aren't the brightest animals.
Who knows? Maybe it's easier in there. Did they get all the food they want? I bet that genetically engineered shit tastes a lot better than grass.
I think they're just scared.
Yeah, so was Andrew. Did you see how fucking fast he ran?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you were right behind me, fucker.
I don't know. How come in real life the bad guys always win?
Well, you know, they do until they don't.
At home, Raul's lying on the sofa watching TV when Sylvia comes in.
My love, I've got to go. Vicky will be here around one with some lunch.
All right.
And Maria said she'll be home all day if you need anything.
Maria dice que se va a quedar en la casa todo el día por si necesitas cualquier cosa.
She's got the kids today.
Those kids make so much noise.
She knows. I talked to her about it.
They should go play outside, not in the house.
Well, gotta go.
Ya me tengo que ir.
Love you.
Love you too.
She leaves him lying on the sofa looking fed up. He winces with discomfort as he tries to move. At the factory, a woman employee is helping Sylvia into her working clothes. First, she puts on a wire mesh apron over her clothes. Then she pulls on a short-sleeved white shirt. The other woman then passes her a white apron, placing the strap over her head and tying it up at the back. Then she puts on a face mask, resting it under her chin, ready to wear. She's handed a hygiene cap, bundling her hair up inside it, followed by a white hard hat.
Thank you.
Mike meets her in a corridor, indicating she should pull on her face mask.
Valley.
This way.
She follows him along the plain, whitewashed corridor and into the meat processing area. They pass by lines of workers slicing meat and throwing the pieces onto the conveyor belt.
There isn't anything in fab right now, but I found you a spot on the kill floor.
Frightened-looking cows are shepherded along a narrow passageway where, one by one, they're shocked on the head with a stun gun. As the shock is administered, the cow lurches grotesquely before slowly dropping to the floor. Sylvia looks on as the cow's head finally lolls to one side, its eyes staring emptily. Slaughtermen sharpen their knives, their aprons spattered with blood, as the cow's body moves towards them, hanging upside down. A slaughterman slashes open the cow's neck, allowing the blood to gush out onto the floor. Its hooves are cut off and tossed aside. Sylvia looks up at the rows of dismembered carcasses hanging above her. Then she looks down at the river of blood on the floor being hosed away. All around her, workers are hacking away at the bloodied carcasses. One uses a power saw to remove the horns. Behind the face mask, Sylvia looks crestfallen as she passes through the abattoir with Mike, whose expression betrays no emotion. One worker teases the cow's skin onto a roller, which then drags the skin from the body, revealing the raw flesh underneath. Hanging on rows of hooks, the meat is blasted with water. In a metal container, the grotesque leftover heads are piled up, their dead eyes staring. As they pass the hosing down area, Mike just stops her from being showered with water.
Watch out, girl. Got to pay attention. You'll be all right, honey.
In an area below the abattoir, women are standing around a metal tray, working on the leftovers.
Maggie, this is Sylvia. I want you to show her how to pull kidneys.
To Sylvia.
Look, breathe through your mouth.
It's not so hard, once you know how. Another bloody slab of flesh slides down into the tray. Now let me see you do it, Behind her face mask, a tear runs down Sylvia's face. Esteban, the determined-looking, middle-aged man wearing a Stetson, leads a group of young, weary-looking Mexicans across a dry, dusty plain. Two young boys are amongst them. The group looks close to exhaustion, apart from the youngest boy, who spots something on the ground up ahead and walks over to pick it up. It's a discarded boot.
Whoa!
Don't touch it. It's bad luck.
But I wanted it.
That's enough. Come on.
Pero yo la quería.
Ya, vente.
The boy drops it on the ground, and Esteban looks at it, crossing himself. A man's waiting for them in the clapped-out yellow van. Seeing the group approaching, he gets out, addressing the two youngest lads.
Hello, boys. Welcome to the USA.
Bienvenidos a los Estados Unidos.
He presents them with takeaway bags from Mickey's.
Adds up to us believing that next quarter will be the best time to introduce a major new product. And along those lines, Don, you want to take it from here?
Yeah. Well, as you all know, the barbecue big one's been testing off the charts for months. And I really feel like the marketing department's nailed the campaign, Jack. So it's obviously time for the big launch. And we couldn't be more ready to go.